Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And good morning, and welcome to the Apostle Speaks. My name is Evangelist Hilda, and I am the co-pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. Today we have our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins. She is the elder of the House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. She brings a word from God every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So first, we would like to thank you for tuning in to the Apostle Speak. Let us pray. The faithful God, your faithfulness convinces me that nothing can ever separate me from your love. Neither death nor life, neither fear nor worry, not even the powers of hell can separate me from you. because you are faithful. I honor and adore you for the faithfulness you show me, even when I am unfaithful to you. I praise you for keeping your covenant of love not only to me, but also to 1,000 generations of those who love you and seek you with all of their hearts, minds, and souls. I praise you, El Imunai, for the faithfulness that you revealed in writing and recording your word for my instruction, so that through endurance and the encouragement of your scriptures, I might have hope. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come you
Amen. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. At this time, I'm going to say good morning to Father God. Amen. Praise be to God. It is now time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled, praise God, which is entitled, Rest. In Matthew 11 and 28 says, Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen? The writer says, the pleasure, the pressure to be perfect can be overwhelming. In the early years of my ministry, I felt that if I wasn't preaching or following up with church members, I was going to fail. There was always something I needed to be doing, and it wasn't just the number of activities I was engaged in that wore me out. It was the pressure I placed on myself to do them all perfectly. I did not live a balanced life, and as a result, my physical health and the overall well-being of my mind and emotions suffered. Perhaps you can relate. We often impose standards on ourselves that the Lord never meant for us to bear. To Him, perfect obedience doesn't mean that we're always busy. Rather, what He desires of us is complete obedience out of love and trust. And that includes time to rest. Mark 6 and 31. Amen. The more intensely you engage in your work and ministry, the more you need extended time apart from the pressure. Therefore, trust God to take care of the details. Set meaningful time aside for Jesus to restore your soul. He will re-energize you, rejuvenate your mind, refresh your relationship, and take your walk with Him to a new level. Amen. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Jesus, I need rest. Show me how to disengage so I can spend meaningful time with you. Amen, amen, and amen. And at 10:30, I will be back with a word from the Lord. Amen. At this time, I will play another selection.
I want you to put your mind and your focus you.
Let the anointing have its way. Call on Jesus' name.
Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Genesis. That's in the beginning of your Bible, and we're going to Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. Amen? Praise be to God. Very short message this morning. Okay, Genesis chapter 5. Verses 21 through 24, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and it says, when Enoch was 65 years old, he became the father of Methuselah. After the birth of Methuselah, Enoch lived in close fellowship with God for another 300 years. And he had other sons and daughters. Enoch lived 365 years, walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day he disappeared because God took him. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Loving Father, we come today to thank you for the testimony of your children down through the ages concerning your kindness, greatness, goodness, and faithfulness. We come today to worship you in spirit and in truth. We come offering the love of our hearts and the praise of our lips. We come offering tithes and offerings that we might publish to the ends of the earth the good news of your love in Jesus Christ. Accept these gifts and bless them to that end. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. Now God, move self out of the way and allow the Holy Spirit to bring forth what thus says the Lord. Praise be to God. Diet and exercise are important to people today. Look over the magazines at the grocery store checkout, and you will notice that a good number of them features articles on diet and exercise. Such articles sell magazines because people want to know the newest trends in exercise and the fastest ways to lose weight and tone up. A man early in Bible times found the best exercise, walking with God. In Genesis 5 and 24 says, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. The word translated walk is a Hebrew expression that means to live according to God's lifestyle. So let us examine the characteristics of walking with God. Amen. My text for this message is coming from Genesis 5 and 24, where it says, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Praise be to God. And my title for this message is the best exercise. Amen. The best exercise. Walking with God means to go in God's direction, not our direction, God's direction. That's walking with God. The Hebraism walking with God is used to describe God's lifestyle. For Enoch to walk with God meant that he had to go in the same direction as God, as we are to do today. If we are walking with God, then we'll have to walk in the same direction that God is walking. So if you are going to walk with anyone, you must go in the same direction in which that person travels. God's way is clearly marked. Enoch responded to God's revelation. Whatever God disclosed to him, he accepted it as the way he was to live. And that's what we must do today. Accept the way that God wants us to live. Today, one does not have to guess or imagine which way God is walking. God's supreme revelation has been given in Jesus Christ. In 1 John 2 and 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. God's way is always the best way. To read Genesis chapter 5 is to be convinced that Enoch found the best type of life. The other personalities mentioned in the chapter 5 live meaningful but rather uneventful lives. But Enoch stood distinct by walking with God. So on your spare time later today or whenever you have the time, read Genesis chapter 5 in its fullest, okay? Praise God. So sometimes walking with God is not the most comfortable or the easiest way to travel because you have to walk in a direction in which others are not walking. Amen? Not everybody is walking in God's way. So walking with God means to proceed at God's pace. For Enoch to walk with God, it meant that he had to proceed at the same pace God moved. Can't go ahead of God, so we got to wait on him. And if you are going to walk with anyone, you must travel at the same pace that person travels. You ever walk with someone and they are walking so fast and you're like way behind them and they are way up in front of you? That's not walking the same pace that they are walking. So you are falling behind. Why? Because they are fast walkers and you are a slow walker. Well, I know that for me a fact because I have a friend. She's a fast walker. And I told her, I said, listen, if you want me to walk with you, you're going to have to slow down. Amen? So I can't walk that fast pace. You got to take time and everything. So God's pace is a deliberate, determined one. Enoch found meaning in walking with God, and so can you. God wants to lead you. If you want to live according to his lifestyle, you need to commit your life to him. He will then move you in a direction that will allow him to create godly character within you. Amen? So God's pace varies on different occasions. Enoch did not find walking with God one continuous, monotonous pace. He found that God varied his leadership. Sometimes God walked fast, at other times slow, and sometimes God just waited. Walking with God means that you proceed at God's pace. You are not to attempt walking ahead of God. No, you cannot go ahead of God because you don't know what God has in store for you. So you have to wait on him. I'll read that again. You are not to attempt walking ahead of God, nor are you to lag behind him. At times, you will need to wait patiently and let God lead you. Amen? Think about it. Praise God. Now, walking with God means to make progress. When Enoch walked with God, he made noticeable signs of progress. You cannot walk without moving. Walking with God begins with a simple first step. Just like when your child, your baby, learning how to walk for the first time. One step at a time. They may fall, but they get back up. For Enoch to walk with God, he had to take a first step. That means he had to have faith initiatively in the Lord. So he put his faith in God. One day, he started the journey of living according to God's lifestyle. And likewise, beginning the Christian life starts with a simple step of faith. If you don't take that leap of faith, how would you know? Or how would you build up your faith in God? You got to take that leap of faith. Amen? Parents take delight in the first step their child takes because it marks a significant beginning for the child. Amen. To God be the glory. The first step means that other steps will come. The angels in heaven rejoice when a person takes the first step in a walk with God. Amen? Yes, they rejoice when you take that first step. The walk with God continues with a series of successive steps after the first step. The first step is not the final step. No, walking with God means a series of successive steps. It is a growing kind of experience. Walking with God means to share an intimacy. Enoch walked with God. Whenever you walk with anyone, you share your thoughts with that person. Enoch shared his life with God, and God shared his life with Enoch. God shares life with human beings. One of the most amazing facts of life is that God chooses to share life with sinful human beings. He lets us know of his love and concern for us. Because one walks with God, he or she gets to understand more about the nature and character of God. Amen? Praise be to God. God allows human beings to share life with him. Walking with God suggests an intimate friendship with him. As we walk with the Lord, we may share our hopes, our dreams, and our aspirations. Or we may share with him our frustrations, our troubles, and our disappointments. Walking with God means to arrive at a destination. The Bible speaks of Enoch's destination, and he was not. This refers to Enoch's translation. In Hebrews 11:5 says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He wanted to please God. That was his testimony. And because Enoch started walking with God, he arrived at his destination. Praise be to God. God causes us to reach potential while we live. Enoch did not find the ultimate meaning of life after his translation. No. Every day, as he walked with God, he discovered the meaning and significance of living God's type of life. God causes us to reach our final destination. Beginning to walk with God leads to a pilgrimage that ends with ultimate fellowship in heaven with God. And as I get ready to bring this wonderful message to a closing, I just want to share one more little thing with you at this time. So Enoch was the seventh from Adam. Godliness is walking with God, which shows reconciliation to God. For two cannot walk together except they be agreed. Amos 3:3. It includes all the parts of a godly, righteous, sober life. To walk with God is to set God always before us, to act as always under his eye. It is constantly to care in all things to please God, and in nothing to offend him. It is to be followers of him as dear children. The Holy Spirit, instead of saying Enoch lived, says Enoch walked with God. This was his constant care and work. While others lived to themselves and the world, he lived to God. It was the joy of his life. Enoch was removed to a better world. Wouldn't you want to be moved to a better world by walking right with God? As he did not live like the rest of mankind, so he did not leave the world by death as they did. He was not found because God has translated him. In Hebrews 11:5, he had lived but 365 years, which as men's ages were then, was but the mist of a man's days. God often takes those soonest whom he loves best. The time they lost on earth is gained in heaven. To their unspeakable advantage. See how Enoch's removal is expressed. He was not, for God took him. He was not any longer in this world. He was changed, as the saints shall be, who are alive at Christ's second coming. Those who began to walk with God when young may expect to walk with him long, comfortably, and usefully. The true Christian steady walk in holiness through many a year till God takes him will best recommend it that religion, which many oppose and many abuse. And walking with God well agrees with the cares, comforts, and duties of life. And my closing remark is, are you tired of wandering through life without purpose? You need to begin a profitable journey, a walk with God. Open your life to Jesus Christ, and you will be strengthened for successive steps and for a final home in glory. Don't you want to have that final home in glory with God? So let us today exercise that walk with Christ or with God. Christ and God is the same. So either word that you say, it is walking with God or walking with Christ. Amen. I hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you as it is to me. And if you want to walk with Christ, all you have to do to start that journey is to repeat this prayer after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Lord, please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And it doesn't stop there. You've got to continue that walk and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible-based church. Amen? To God be the glory. And my benediction for this message is coming from Jude 24 and 25, where it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore." And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
So exercise your walk with Christ this morning, my brothers and sisters. Amen. Praise God. And now it is time for our poetry by our very own Barbara A. Amore, who's going to come with our poetry this morning. And we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this morning? You on me?
Good morning.
Okay.
I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
I'm still in a lot of pain, but I am pushing through, so I have an appointment with my doctor this afternoon.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Couldn't tell your message.
Yes.
You were in pain. Beautiful message.
I know. I try to block it out of my mind when I'm concentrating on the word, you know.
I understand. Mm-hmm. God bless you for that.
Thank you.
I pray that you be healed.
Amen. I accept it in Jesus' name.
To God be the glory. Amen. I'm going to be coming from my book of poetry entitled The Profundity of God, a spiritual anthology in poetry. And I just want to say to whoever's listening, whatever they're going through, whatever trials or tribulations they're facing now,
mm-hmm.
one thing that we can count on is that the title of the poem, Take It, O God. My God, when I think about how good you are to me, I just want to scream. Sometimes I can hardly stand it. I reflect on the things you have done in my life. God, truly, you are something else. I know you to be long-suffering with your love, your faithfulness, your favor, your mercy and grace, my deliverance from strife, giver of a second chance more than thrice. It makes me want to cry out, why? No, Lord, I'm your child, but you know I'm not worthy. And in spite of me, you loved me. You died for me. You saved and redeemed me.
Yes.
Me. You gently guided me. You know me, and still you came to save me, a sinner. You did it all for me.
Yes.
So that I bless and have the privilege to live eternally with you and you, Christ Jesus. Yes, I know you did it all for me, unselfishly, without repentance, with the shedding of your precious blood. You died for me on the cold, cruel cross. You gave your life for me. Lord, if I had 10,000 tongues, I could not thank you enough. I can never repay you for your sacrifice, the price you paid for my salvation, for my life. But I thank God, Master, Lord, Jesus Christ, Jehovah, Holy Spirit, Redeemer, Savior, Abba Father, Daddy, soon coming King, Yahweh. And I give to you all that I have. Take it. Here's my heart. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That is just, that is wonderful. And it's just like the message this morning. Here's my heart. Just take it. Let me walk with you, Lord God.
That does so much.
It just brought tears to my eyes and chills in my body, because, you know, we go through so many hardships, and sometimes, a lot of times, your problems is your families that, you know, they put you in situations that you really did not want or woke up to think that you would be in. You know, when you try to help out family members and things, they just have a relationship with God, you
Amen.
Will be so lost in this world. So
Amen.
Lost.
You said it. To God be the glory.
Hallelujah. And that was a beautiful, take it, oh God. Take it. And just allow me to walk with you, Lord God. Guide me each step of the way.
Thank you.
That was powerful. Very powerful.
Thank you for that.
Yes, thank you, God. So, I don't know if Pastor is coming on this morning, but I'm going to, for at least to 10, 15 minutes, play some music while we're waiting. And if not, and I'm going to just close out, because I, like I said, I have this appointment to go to this afternoon.
Yeah.
Amen. Yes.
Thank you.
Amen. So right now I'm going to play All to the Glory of God. Hallelujah.
All to the glory of God.
Amen. I just want to read a devotional from God's Purpose for Life. The title is Fending Off Attacks. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Ephesians 4:27, where it says, "Do not give the devil an opportunity." We hear about conflicts and attacks taking place all over the world, but they often seem very distant. But the truth is that every believer faces a war each day. We battle the devil. Unfortunately, many people don't recognize his assaults in their struggles of everyday life. Our enemy camouflages himself so he can attack undetected. And he is very deliberate in the way he strikes us. He goes for our minds first, making us focus on what we lack and what's wrong rather than on what God has given. We begin to fantasize about having our hungers fulfilled, triggering a chain reaction of thoughts and fantasies that eventually takes us down the path of sin. Then, when confronted with the temptations, it's already too late. From there, our bodies turn in the direction our minds are already facing. Therefore, to win the battle against Satan, we must be aware of how he attacks and instead bring in our thoughts under the control of the Lord Jesus, 2 Corinthians 10:5. Jesus reminds us to be grateful for what we have, heals the pain that we're trying to cover over, and gives us the right tools to resist the enemy successfully. Certainly, when we recognize Satan's deceptions and depend on Jesus' strength to repel him, we can be confident of victory. Amen. Praise God. Jesus, help us recognize a satanic attack and resist it with your truth. Amen. I hope you enjoyed that. I thought it was such a profound message to bring this morning. And at this time, I will play another selection, and I will end the program at 11:30. Amen.
Let me hear the worshiper. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Every word of worship
with one accord. your hands and praise him now. He's worthy of the praise. I don't care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
Praise be to God. Proverbs 3:6 says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path smooth. This year, the anniversary of the death of my husband, Keith, would fall on a day when the rabbi would be away. Because of this, the synagogue suggests that I say the mourner's Kaddish, the prayer recited to honor God in the face of grief. The week before the proper time, I balked. I felt strongly that I wanted to memorialize Keith at the right time. And the week before that right time was when I had to recite the prayer for my mother. I believe that both of them deserve their own times to be remembered. I mentioned it to friends, and one of them said, I'll be happy to set up a service in your home for the right time. Just tell me who you want to invite for the minyan prayer, minyan prayer, and I'll take care of everything. I swallowed the thought that I'll be inconveniencing people and accepted her help. Because I did not know how many people would be available or willing, I gave her 20 names, including mine. Here, family, hoping that no one would feel to put upon. On the night in question, I kept thanking everyone who arrived and apologizing for any disruption to their schedule. Everyone assured me they were happy to be there. But I was convinced that if I hadn't been so stubborn, the whole thing might have been unnecessary. When we reached the point in the service of Kaddish to be said, I stood up. One of the men also stood and said, I need to say Kaddish for my aunt. A woman stood to say it for her father. They thanked me for giving them the opportunity to do it at the right time. Then we said the prayer together. Amen. You always know what I'm supposed to do, God, and you always find ways to remind me of that. Rhoda Bleeker was the person's name. And if you want to go deeper, you can read Lamentations 3:22 and Psalm 70:5. Amen. I hope that devotional message was a blessing. At this time, I will play another selection.
Spirit, and permeate all my soul. Love of God overflow in my heart and permeate all my soul. All my soul is yours.
Amen. Praise be to God. I know that I said I would end the program at 11:30, but I don't want to disappoint my listeners, so I will stay on until 12 noon, and that is my scheduled time for 2 hours. It doesn't make sense to pay for something that you're not going to utilize. So at this time, I will give another devotional message. Sacred Spaces, Mary Meeting Lake. In Psalms 5 and 3, in the King James Version, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. The writer says, it's 5 o'clock this August morning. My children and their grandparents are still asleep as I slip out the cabin's screen door and creep across the lawn to Mary Meeting Lake. My canoe hissed as I slid it across the sand and into water so still it looks like Polish chrome. As I eased myself inside, I bumped the hull with a hollow thump. Shh, don't wake anyone. Gently, I draw the paddle through the celestial water. Glide, stroke, glide. Only 2 ripples marked my presence on the grassy surface. About 50 yards from shore, I rest my paddle on the hull, and I drifted even out here. The water is so clear, I can see a trout lurking in the bottom green depths beneath me. It dots, pauses, then dots again. No one knows this fish is there but me. In fact, no one knows I am here either, except God. All is silent. All is peace on this lake. So calm that a duck feather floats across it on the apex of its curve. I gazed toward the low mountains green with pines and the coming dawn. And I pray without words in the tranquil sweetness of this morning. I have found a sacred place. Perhaps 15 minutes later, the sun inches over the mountain tops. The first light seeps into the sky. A solitary fisherman chugs into view. His wake sets my canoe, gently rocking. Time to go, infused with enough of God's peace to last the day. Maybe several days. I stroke and glid back to my family. I am blessed. God, Creator God, thank you for the miracle of a fresh morning and the time to savor it. Gail Schilling. Beautiful, beautiful to be the first one up in the morning to watch the sun rise and to take a stroll down the river. That is just, yes, absolutely wonderful. So we got 18 minutes and I will play another selection and read another devotional. Amen. Praise God.
Just to feel. want you to lift up your hands in the presence of the Lord. Every voice in this room, we have about another 15 seconds. I want you to open your mouth. We have sang for your glory. I will do anything. I wonder what type of praise you will give him until he releases his glory. Somebody raise up your hands and open your mouth now. Can I get somebody to cry out for God in this room? I'm only talking to those of you who are hungry for him. I'm only talking to those of you who are thirsty for him.
Praise be to God. In Joshua 1:9 in the NIV says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." The writer says, "I do not have fond memories of middle school. Violence in my Brooklyn school was common, with fights almost every day. Fear and loneliness sat so heavily on my chest during those preteen years. I even entertained the thought of suicide, yet middle school did not define the rest of my life. But when my oldest son moved on to middle school, those fears came back just as strong. You let me know how you feel there, I said multiple times before his first day. If you don't feel comfortable, we can always do homeschool. On his first day, parents led their kids into the cafeteria, and Brandon happily found a table with some of his friends from last year. That happiness, however, did not last. They call me short, he confessed. Brandon was beginning to feel isolated and lonely, just as I had so many years ago. Do you feel like you're in danger? I asked. No, he quickly answered, as if the question was ridiculous. Then you can do this, I said. It's just a small part of your life. For the first time, I was happy to have experienced what I did as a preteen so that I could help my son. Brandon and I talked for a long time about my middle school experiences and all of the positive life-giving ones that followed in high school and college. As long as he felt safe, this would be a test of his strength, to know his worth and potential. Despite what others said, I got this, he said, with a new sense of confidence, with pride and heartache. I smiled at my son. I know you do. Lord, thank you for defining who I am and for being with me as I walk in my purpose. Karen Valentine. Praise God. So we got another 9 minutes, and for the next 9 minutes, I will play another selection and ending with another devotional message. To God be the glory.
Lord have mercy. Come on, y'all, let's assemble. We're gonna have a church. When I look back on my life, And I think about all the hills and all the valleys. I can thank God that I can stand here before you today and testify about his goodness. You see, tomorrow is not promised to us. But I woke up early one morning and the words to this song came to me. And it goes a little something like this. Come on, fellas. Come on and sing for the Lord. You see, God is sustaining me. Let me tell you about it. Oh,
God.
Somebody gotta cry out, Jesus,
sustaining me.
Some cloud, you gotta call him
Jesus.
You gotta call on him.
Sustaining me.
My, 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 my Lord.
Sustains me
late in the midnight hour.
Sustaining me
when I can't sleep at night.
Sustains me
trouble.
God is sustaining
trouble on the mind.
Jesus sustains me.
Sometimes your friends
says, but the Lord is my haven, my God is my sheltering rock. The synagogue scholars and residents here for a long weekend of learning did not drive on Shabbat, so that ruled out his staying at any of the hotels in town. Our cantor asked me if he could stay in my guest room. Since I live within walking distance of the synagogue and my guest facilities are on a different floor from the rest of my house, I agreed to let him stay. But it had been a long time since anyone besides me was in the house overnight. And the first night he was there, even though he was comfortably removed from my living space, I was aware that something was unusual. As I sometimes remember to do when I was uneasy, I asked myself, what is God trying to teach me? Nothing I came up with seemed right until the next morning when I was up to my eyebrows in dishwater and the scholar came into the kitchen. Where would I find the glasses? He asked. I couldn't get him one or point out the right place, so I said, put your hand on something. I have learned long ago that giving verbal directions in a vacuum did not work well, because everyone interpret things like the door over the canister differently, leading to, no, not that one. But once there was an agreed on anchor spot, it was much easier. He put his hand on a cabinet door, and I told him to look in the cabinet directly to the left of the one he was touching. As he poured himself some orange juice, I finally recognized God's lesson. When I don't know what's adrift in my life, I need to find an anchor point. And I reminded myself that the best anchor point for me in this changing world is always God. Pray. Lord, you always provide an anchor to hold me steady when I am drifting. Rhoda Bleeker. I hope and pray that this devotional message and inspirational music was a blessing to you. Like I say, I am here for God's people. And if someone doesn't show up, that doesn't mean that God's work does not go on. Amen. So God bless you for tuning in to another episode of The Apostle Speaks. So God bless you, and may heaven to God be the glory. Sometimes you know what you want to say, but it doesn't come out the way that you want to say it. But let God bring it forth into your heart and your mind and soul. Amen. We love you. We thank you. And have a wonderful weekend, everyone. And again, thank you for tuning in to Pray One for Another. The Apostle Speaks. God love bless you. And shalom. You too. Thank you for being with me on this Saturday morning.
I God be the
truly, truly appreciate it and love you so much.
Love you too. Glad to be. God bless. Shalom.
God bless. Shalom. And on that note, we are going to end. It's like the more you click out stuff, the more people put back in. Okay, that takes care of everything. Let me